Chapter 56. The Joy of Forgiveness and Healing. This chapter is based on Nehemiah 8, 9, and 10. It was the time of the Feast of Trumpets. Many were gathered at Jerusalem. The wall had been rebuilt and the gates set up, but a large part of the city was still in ruins. On a platform erected in one of the broadest streets, surrounded by sad reminders of Judah's departed glory, stood Ezra, now an aged man. At his right and left were gathered his brother Levites. From all the surrounding country, the children of the covenant had assembled. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord. Yet even here was evidence of sin. Through intermarriage of the people with other nations, the Hebrew language had become corrupted, and great care was necessary on the part of the speakers to explain the law in language understood by all. Certain priests united with Ezra in explaining its principles. They read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The people listened, intent and reverent, to the words of the Most High. They were convinced of their guilt and mourned because of their transgressions. But this was a day of rejoicing, a holy convocation which the Lord had commanded the people to keep with gladness and to rejoice because of God's great mercy to them. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Part of the day was devoted to religious exercises. The remainder of the time was spent enjoying the bounties God had provided. Portions were also sent to the poor. The words of the law had been read and understood. On the 10th day of the 7th month, the services of the Day of Atonement were performed. From the 15th to the 22nd of the month, the people and their rulers kept the Feast of Tabernacles, in all their towns and in Jerusalem. The people made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, Ezra read from the Book of the Law of God. RSV. As they had listened from day to day to the words of the law, the people had been convicted of the sins of their nation in past generations. It was because of departure from God that his protecting care had been withdrawn, and the children of Abraham had been scattered in foreign lands. They determined to pledge themselves to walk in his commandments. Before entering on this solemn service, they separated themselves from the heathen among them. Their leaders encouraged them to believe that God, according to his promise, heard their prayers. They must not only repent, they must believe that God pardoned them. They must show their faith by praising him for his goodness. Stand up, said these teachers, and bless the Lord your God. Then from the assembled throng, as they stood with outstretched hands toward heaven, arose the song. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The song ended. The leaders related the history of Israel, showing how great had been God's goodness and how great their ingratitude. They had suffered punishment for their sins. Now they acknowledged God's justice and pledged to obey his law. A memorial of the obligation they had taken on themselves was written out, and the priests, Levites, and princes signed it as a reminder of duty and a barrier against temptation. The people took a solemn oath to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. The oath included a promise not to intermarry with the people of the land.
The people still further manifested their determination to return to the Lord by pledging to cease from desecrating the Sabbath. In an effort to save the people from yielding to temptation, Nehemiah bound them by a solemn covenant not to transgress the Sabbath by purchasing from the heathen traders, hoping that this would put an end to the traffic. Provision was also made to support the public worship of God. In addition to the tithe, the congregation pledged to contribute yearly a stated sum for the service of the sanctuary. "We cast the lots," Nehemiah writes, "to bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord." Israel had returned to God with deep sorrow for backsliding. Now they must manifest faith in His promises. God had accepted their repentance. They were now to rejoice in the assurance of sins forgiven and their restoration to divine favor.
Nehemiah's efforts had been crowned with success. As long as the people were obedient to God's word, so long would the Lord fulfill His promise by pouring rich blessings on them. For those who are convicted of sin and weighed down with a sense of unworthiness, there are lessons of faith and encouragement in this record. The Bible faithfully presents Israel's apostasy, but it portrays also the deep repentance, the earnest devotion and sacrifice that marked their return to the Lord. When a sinner yields to the Holy Spirit, he sees himself as a transgressor. But he is not to give way to despair, for his pardon has already been secured. It is God's glory to encircle repentant human beings in the arms of His love, to bind up their wounds, to cleanse them, and to clothe them with salvation.